Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Body Aware. Rediscover your mind-body connection, stop feeling stuck, and improve your mental health through simple movement practices. By Erica Hornthal. Foreword by Nicole LaPera, PhD. Narrated by Erica Hornthal. Medical disclaimer. The following information is intended for general information purposes only. Individuals should always seek their healthcare provider before administering any suggestions made in this book. Any application of the material set forth in the following pages is at the reader's discretion and is their sole responsibility. To my clients, who taught me that just because someone cannot speak doesn't mean they have nothing to say. Preface. This is not just another book about exercise, meditation, yoga, or embodiment, and it's not written by a neuroscientist, a professor, a biomechanist, or even a dance psychologist. The entire book is written from my perspective and experience as a student, client, and practitioner of Westernized dance movement therapy. While dance as a healing modality has been around for millennia, this book explores methodologies and techniques from my own education and practice in this field. As a passionate practitioner and advocate for dance movement therapy, I believe our work has been overlooked for far too long. Dance movement therapy in its westernized form has been a professional field since around the 1950s. But on a grander scale, few people outside of the field are familiar with the modality. Dance movement therapy is a form of psychotherapy that focuses on the mind-body connection, putting the body in the driver's seat rather than relying solely on the mind. The methods and techniques that have been passed down are still questioned by modern medicine and minimized by many authority figures in mental health who label it as adjunct and alternative. I advocate for this work for the people who came before me and have put their entire being into educating and sharing the wonder and sheer magic that unfolds when witnessing a person claiming their space in this world by showing up in their body. In writing this book, I pay tribute to future students and therapists, not to mention the clients who, despite debilitating illnesses, childhood trauma, and unbelievable loss and grief, choose to show up in this life through movement. It feels necessary to acknowledge that since this book is written from my perspective, that of a white, Jewish, cisgender woman, I know I do not speak for everyone, and I understand that even my own body awareness and view of the work come from a privileged Eurocentric lens. Even more reason to highlight that this book is not meant as a universal remedy, but as a guide for anyone listening to claim their own experiences and how each experience is individually embodied. To listen and gain from this book, you are not required to have any previous knowledge or understanding of somatics or other body-centered practices. This book will provide you with accessible and digestible ideas, tips, and resources on the link between how you move and your mental health. In my opinion, most non-academic books have skirted around just how much movement influences mental health. Furthermore, this focus on movement is not about exercising, but recognizing your own relationship to movement, exploring your current movement habits, and expanding your own range of and capacity for movement so you can improve your mental health and create a life full of meaning and purpose. This book aims to show you how your movements, especially the ones that you aren't even aware of, shape your interactions, relationships, and behaviors. Before you start listening, I want to introduce some important terms and ideas that are central to this book. The term body includes the top of the head to the bottom of the feet, not just from the neck down. I also want to make clear that while definitions and principles discussed in this book will be cited in literature and resources, I acknowledge that their origins go well beyond these references. A fellow dance movement therapist, Neha Christopher, pointed out that there's a difference between Western nomenclature and Western invention. While the references may point to Western invention, it is important to know that is more often a product of Western civilization reinventing and taking ownership of customs and traditions originated by other cultures. I will do my best to pay honor and homage to the cultural origins of these practices and acknowledge that the work I do is possible because of the healers, body workers, and ancestors who came before me. Body Aware is a guidebook that addresses how the way you move impacts who you are. Embracing this approach is about more than adopting an exercise routine or a meditation practice. It comes down to the following: identifying where you hold your emotions in your body, interpreting your body's unique language, listening to and recognizing bodily sensations in order to identify emotional blockages, exploring how the smallest involuntary movements play a vital role in how you function, expanding your movement vocabulary to enhance your resilience and manage your emotions amid life's greatest challenges. It's time to redefine what movement is and how it plays a role in your life so you can harness the power of your movement to step into your greatest potential and start creating the life you want by changing the way you move through it. Forward. As a holistic psychologist who's been closely tied to Erica Hornthal's work, I know the importance of a mind-body approach to wellness. In Body Aware, Erica takes a revolutionary approach to improve mental health and to help people stop feeling stuck. Today's mental health system doesn't fully take into account how important the body is, and this book represents a long overdue paradigm shift in the way we think of treating mental health issues. In my experience, without bringing the body into mental health treatment, we do a disservice to both the clients and practitioners. I'm asked consistently by therapists, how can I bring the body into treatment? And this book answers that much-needed call. As more and more practitioners become aware of the mind-body connection, this book will only become more important and relevant. Erica's delivery is relatable, comprehensive, and straightforward. It's filled with compassion and curiosity, two things that are foundational in healing. Erica understands that the body, and specifically movement, allows us to have access to heal the mind. Body Aware gives the listener practical and tangible tools to become more aware of our bodies. Today, so many of us are suffering from depression, anxious or racing thoughts, or the inability to feel connected to the people we love. Many of us have learned to cope with life through leaving our body. We dissociate because we're overwhelmed with the present moment. Using our intentional movement in safe ways allows us to return to the body. As we return to the body, our mental health changes. We are more present, our thoughts are more calm and peaceful, and we are more able to express ourselves creatively. Everyone wants to be more fulfilled, happy, and at peace. Body Aware provides a clear roadmap for how to create this in your own life. It's the hopeful medicine needed at a time in our world where there's so much fear and unpredictability. Through this book, I learned more about where I hold my own emotions and how to have a different relationship with the sensations of my body. It's clear that Erica has a gift in presenting this information in a way that everyone can learn something new, and more importantly, everyone can actually integrate. I also found it to be incredibly inclusive, offering tips for people who are disabled or limited in their ability to move. This matters because so often we have an image of movement for a select group of people. In Body Aware, there is a space for everyone, which reshapes the often intimidating space of bodywork. I, like Erica, believe that you can change your life and your thoughts through intentional movement. I'm thrilled for the listeners who will have a new relationship with their body and the way they see the world. If you're looking to heal, this is the book for you. If you're looking to use body work within your own practice, this book is for you. As a psychologist, educator, and author, I recommend this book to everyone wanting to learn more about emotions, movement, and human behavior. Nicole LaPera, PhD, the holistic psychologist and best-selling author of How to Do the Work, 2022. Part 1, Exploring How You Move. Introduction. Your movement matters. Nothing is more revealing than movement. Martha Graham. My journey. I began dancing at a young age. You may know the story yourself. Kid dances all over the house. Mom puts kid in a formal dance class. Kid is happy. I can remember trying other hobbies and sports, only to find myself back in the dance studio. I always loved to dance, but it wasn't until my family was relocated from Tampa, Florida, to the North Shore of Chicago, Illinois, that dance became so much more to me than an art form or hobby. In fact, I didn't realize just how much I needed dance until it was not readily available or accessible. While there were benefits to this move, it was a huge adjustment, to say the least. At 15, moving away from family, friends, and a community that shaped my identity was only exacerbated when I became what felt like no more than a number in a high school that prided itself on excellence and competition. If you're familiar with the 2004 film Mean Girls, you have a Hollywoodized idea of what I experienced. While my particular circumstance was not identical to the main character, much like her, I did struggle to find my way and experienced an existential crisis when all the things I knew to be true about myself were questioned. I naturally turned to dance, but even that was met with barriers. Transferring to a new school and community made for a rough transition as I attempted to navigate and integrate into established programs with auditions and assessments already underway. With time and after a lot of tears, I slowly found my footing and ultimately made my way back to the dance studio. Dance, more than anything, became an outlet, a coping mechanism, and a lifeline. I didn't dance to fit in or be popular. I danced because it was familiar, stable, and reliable. It was a way to come home and belong to myself when I didn't know where I belonged in the world, let alone my community. Long before I knew about the field of dance movement therapy, dance inherently became my therapy. I may not have realized it at the time, but I needed it to get through challenging transitions in my life. When I think back on those transitions, whether it was relocating with my family, discovering my identity during adolescence, on the cusp of exploring my independence as a college freshman amid the challenges and fears directly following 9/11, or navigating the COVID-19 pandemic, I realize now that those experiences constricted my emotional expression by restricting my physical movements. Pain and discomfort create constriction in the body. The more restriction present in the body, the more confined we become in our minds. Without my realizing it, dance kept me from playing small or limiting my presence, even when life experience and the world had other plans. Learning breathing techniques through Pilates during my high school dance class created core support, which reinforced psychological constructs of identity. Experiencing some aspects of West African dance during my freshman year in college kept me grounded and connected to the earth, which for me facilitated a sense of internal safety and connectedness. And through taking up ballroom dance, not only did I learn to communicate my needs and trust in a partner, but also I embodied emotional resilience, learning to transition from the elongated steps of the waltz to the intricate, sharp steps of the tango. These are just a few examples of how moving my body in new, unexpected, and often challenging ways allowed me to counterbalance the effects of life. Through movement, I discovered that I was resourceful, creative, resilient, motivated, and strong, physically and mentally. Furthermore, I was able to authentically maneuver my psychological landscape by finding my own way around the dance floor. It's my hope that my use of movement as a catalyst for change and acceptance shows that it is possible for anyone. This is because it isn't about the right way, but rather your way of recognizing the innate healing power of movement with regard to your individual culture, gender, race, or religion, and how it supports your own personal mental health. Whether you are faced with egregious oppression, political unrest, a traumatic childhood, a life-changing diagnosis, debilitating anxiety, or the developmental challenges of adolescence, the body is a carrier for all experiences. As this book will explore, dancing through difficult times literally taught me to keep moving through my life, And how I moved played a huge role in how I coped, managed, and operated in the world. Realizing that dance and mental health as professions were not mutually exclusive, I decided to explore career paths in dance and psychology, ultimately finding my way to the field of dance movement therapy, in the hopes of using movement in a clinical setting to improve mental health for individuals needing a holistic approach. I ultimately attended graduate school for dance movement therapy and counseling. Dance movement therapy, often referred to as dance therapy, is not just a phrase or a hashtag. According to the American Dance Therapy Association, ADTA, dance movement therapy is the psychotherapeutic use of movement to promote emotional, social, cognitive, and physical integration of the individual. Dr. Jennifer Frank Tancha, dance movement therapist and somatic psychotherapist, states, "It is a psychotherapeutic process that creates balance in the nervous system, ownership of one's own body, and agency through movement." Despite the name, dance movement therapy is not only about dance. While it places an emphasis on dance, it's more about the use of movement and the body's language as an inherent form of expression. As mentioned in the New York Times bestseller, Maybe You Should Talk to Someone, with regard to her own experience of dance and healing, author Lori Gottlieb says, "When we dance, we express our buried feelings, talking through our bodies instead of our minds." A participant is not required to be a dancer, have any previous dance experience, or any coordination for that matter. Dance therapists don't teach people to become better dancers, but rather support clients to connect to the innate mover inside. Even becoming a dance therapist doesn't require that the practitioner be a seasoned professional dancer, but that they have the ability to access different movement characteristics and the capacity to use their body as a vessel for empathic connection in the therapeutic relationship. It's about using movement, a core component of dance, to express the innermost thoughts, desires, and needs of the individual, uncovering what is too deep to express through words alone. While dance movement therapy is not the only option out there, it feels like a secret that I want to shout from the rooftops. In my opinion, dance movement therapy is the most comprehensive form of psychotherapy that most people have never heard of. As a talk therapist would practice reflective listening, dance movement therapists practice embodied listening. Dance movement therapists do not just listen with their ears, they listen with their entire bodies. We can reflect what we see in the body's language and tone of the client, as you would in a mirror. Kinesthetic empathy and attunement to create connection, trust, and communication on another level. Dr. Danielle Frankel, dance movement therapist and educator, says, "Kinesthetic empathy is the keystone of dance movement therapy, the pivotal guide to building trusting, therapeutic relationships with our clients." Imagine you're in the middle of nowhere and desperately trying to get anything but static on your car's radio. Attunement can be seen as the act of the therapist finely tuning their body to match the client's radio frequency. This further illustrates the immense validation and satisfaction both can encounter when the static becomes audible, recognizable sound. Dance movement at its core becomes the catalyst and vessel for communication, trust, and relationship. Additionally, dance movement becomes the means for observation, assessment, and intervention, in addition to the use of verbal processing. It is essential that the client integrates both, as we are tending to the mind-body connection and bringing the body into a symbiotic relationship with the mind. Dance movement therapy supports the creation of a symbiotic relationship between the body, mind, and spirit. For the past decade, I've worked with clients from ages 3 to 107 from all different backgrounds, using movement through the lens of dance movement therapy to express concerns like anxiety, chronic pain, depression, and cognitive and developmental differences such as Alzheimer's disease, traumatic brain injury, and autism. Through this work, I began to see a common thread with my clients. The inability to connect to the body's innate wisdom and knowledge was gravely impacting quality of life. Becoming known as the therapist who moves you, I found myself literally helping my clients move out of their own ways and move into lives of purpose, passion, connection, expression, and meaning. In graduate school and even in my early years of being a professional, I didn't realize the extent to which dance and movement could support healing. I knew how it made me feel and that I could use dance and movement to convey feelings, but to get out of my head and listen to my body was a whole other world. Honestly, it's a world I'm still navigating and will continue to discover. When you've been wired to live in your mind, it is both scary and liberating to think, challenge, and explore what lives in your body. When you feel imprisoned by your mind, your body can be what sets you free. My practice as a dance movement therapist has allowed me to expand my own movement vocabulary, an embodied dictionary of sorts, and my own body knowledge, which supports my identity, my core belief system, and my values. It serves as a compass that guides me back home when I feel lost. Dance was an outlet, but it has become so much more. This is the basis for this book. I've seen firsthand how people get in their own way of achieving their potential by limiting their movement. People play small and limit their presence in their bodies. And while this is often designed to create a sense of safety, this unconsciously spills over to other areas like relationships, jobs, even everyday interactions. If you want to show up in this life, you've got to begin by showing up in your body. That means examining and deconstructing how you show up in your body, and understanding that how you currently live in your body is not the only way. If you want to change facets of your life, begin by observing how your body currently moves and what happens in response to those changes. Body Aware will allow you to explore this. All you have to do is become curious about how your movement impacts who you are and bring awareness to how you move. You do not have to be a dancer, enjoy dance, or take any dance classes to reap the full benefits of this book. In fact, a bulk of the work I've done in my private practice has been with individuals who are either chairbound or at times bedbound. These are individuals living with degenerative diseases like Alzheimer's, movement disorders like Parkinson's, or even people born with traumatic brain injuries or developmental differences. No matter how small or inaccessible someone's movement may appear, the potential for expansion and connection through the body is always possible. Every human body tells a story, and as you begin to understand, dance and movement in general is another way of telling that story as well as rewriting the narrative. You are moving all the time, and it's about time that you harnessed the power of your movement to face challenges, overcome adversity, and achieve your greatest dreams. Challenging the status quo. When you think of change and the body, you may think of diet and exercise, but that is not what I'm talking about. Yes, change begins in the body, but not by altering its aesthetics. Dr. Peter Lovett, English dance psychologist and author of The Dance Cure, writes, "If you want to make changes to the way you think, then start with the way you move your body." Challenging your body's status quo can allow you to move out of your comfort zone and eventually embrace new movement possibilities. This is how lasting change occurs and where I believe the quest for personal growth begins. Awareness is the key to change. We cannot change anything if we lack awareness that something is out of balance or misaligned. Many of us are so resigned to living a life of status quo that we don't challenge or question the need for change. Furthermore, we lack the initiative to take responsibility for our own circumstances. We are perfectly comfortable living in a world we've created that makes us prisoners to stress, burnout, apathy, and overwhelming anxiety. In fact, that is often worn as a badge of honor. The amount of stress endured in a job is often a sign of accomplishment. This line from the 2006 film The Devil Wears Prada illustrates this point. Nigel, Stanley Tucci, says to Andrea, Anne Hathaway, "Let me know when your entire life goes up in smoke. Then it's time for a promotion." This is the mantra for so much of corporate life. We tell ourselves that it will change when we get that promotion, once the kids are out of that phase, when we retire, or when we get through the next however many days, months, or even years. We idolize a celebrity culture and binge-watch reality television, which is anything but real, to escape our own hectic reality. We distract ourselves with technology to lessen the suffering that comes from space and quiet, because it's in the downtime that our true thoughts emerge. Some of us believe we need to go on expensive retreats in remote tropical destinations to get back in touch with ourselves so that we can go back to tolerating the everyday grind. Why is it that we go through life never challenging the status quo? We make excuses for our situations, reason our way out of wanting more for ourselves, and minimize our dissatisfaction with our lives. We may even convince ourselves that we are happy, or worse, convince ourselves that we are undeserving, and therefore happiness is overrated and unattainable. Challenging ourselves can be uncomfortable and painful, which is one big reason we opt out of it. We might feel like we have no power over our circumstances. What happens to us may not be in our control, but we can control how we respond to those circumstances and the behaviors we exhibit. The less we take responsibility for our actions, the more we perpetuate our lack of power and our helplessness in our situation. Another reason we overlook change is because we like comfort. As long as we remain in a predictable environment, no matter how stress-provoking it may be, it is still not as bad as being uncomfortable. We have adjusted and evolved to our environment so much that we would rather sacrifice our emotional health than sit in discomfort and feel everything that comes with it. Lastly, it's really hard work. Recognizing that we're not living up to our potential can be painful, and making the changes necessary to realize that potential is not the easy path. But then again, nothing worth having comes easily. I've seen many clients in my practice who know that something needs to change, yet do not act on that potential so they can cling to the familiarity of comfort and illusion of stability. Instead of connecting to the body and processing our emotions, so many of us buffer. We consume, we scroll, we complain, we turn into couch potatoes. If we think of movement as exercise, it becomes one more thing to do in an overly packed schedule, and we're less likely to do it. Here's a little secret. You do not have to sacrifice your potential for comfort. Notice how your body receives that information. When you choose to remain comfortable, you do yourself a disservice by limiting your own ability to achieve. You emotionally and physically hold yourself back from opportunities related to personal growth, occupation, relationships, and even love. However, the answer doesn't lie in jumping into the deep end. The answer lies within your body and the ability to notice the discomfort while learning to manage it simultaneously. It is in the emotional discomfort that we can increase our awareness of how this impacts the body and therefore the mind. Through the body, you can learn to confront, maybe even embrace discomfort by exposing yourself to it. You can release the stress, the burnout, the overwhelming anxiety, but it's going to be uncomfortable at first and it won't be easy. But again, change is not about being comfortable. It's about learning to identify and sit in discomfort. You may ask, why fix something if it isn't broken? That is the problem. We often lack the awareness that something is broken because we are too cushioned by our comfortable bubbles. To be clear, we as individuals are not broken. What's broken is the system, a system that devalues mental health, self-care, and the need for balance. You have the ability to change the status quo, to thrive, not just survive, and to live a life of meaning and purpose, no matter what your emotional and physical circumstances may be. If awareness is the key to change, then movement is the catalyst for awareness. English writer and philosopher Aldous Huxley wrote, "Consciousness is only..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?